from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Slate's in the building. Anthony Slater, our 95.7 The Game insider from The Athletic, one of the best beat writers in this country, covers the Warriors, does a great job covering the NBA. He's live in studio to break down the offseason with the Doves. 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls. A lot going on with the Golden State Warriors. As we say good morning to everybody out there getting off the graveyard shift, all the overnight dancers, Slater. You got to say good morning to them, all the cops, firefighters, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. And shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. Slates, what's happening, man? Good morning.
Hello to my mom, too. I think she might be listening this
is
morning.
Is she listening? It's the only time I'll hopefully...
Well, she's watching the baby this morning, so thank you to her.
Yeah.
And she knows I'm coming down in the studio. That's part of why she got to watch the baby.
Oh, yeah.
So... maybe listening right now.
We're going to put them up on YouTube. Pull up on YouTube. Look at Slater's fresh haircut, man. Yeah. I need one of those bad boys.
Draft day.
Probably
draft
watching day. Bluey or one of those other things. Not watching us.
Is he on
the
Bluey? I don't know if kids catch on to Bluey so early.
No. You know, how old is he? Lion King.
Oh, actually. Lion King. He's on the Lion King now.
Almost 15 months.
Yeah. Oh, he's still very little.
The Cocomelons phase, too? Cocomelons?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, like, he likes songs, honestly. There's, like, an Adam Sandler animated movie on Netflix that, like, enthralls him. I mean, he's not following the storylines, but they go to singing, and he's into it, jumping up.
See, me and my kid, we watched the 1981 NFC Championship game over and over again. He's only 7 months. We're just working on Montana's footwork, and then we're going to build our way up to getting to Brock Purdy.
My kids watched a few Cleveland Guardian games.
There we go.
You know, best team in baseball. That's all he's ever known.
They are what the Giants think they are.
Giants played them in Cleveland in a couple weeks. Yeah. Okay. Get right series for the Cleveland Guardians. All right. How do the Warriors get right here? And let's start with Klay Thompson. Start with Klay Thompson. He's the biggest name out here. We get the Wiggins. We're at the Kuminga, the Paul George sweepstakes. Klay Thompson. What's your read on the situation, Slates?
Well, it all ties together, right? Part of the reason it has gotten to as icy a point as it has is because what are the Warriors doing right now? They're not dealing with Klay Thompson. They're dealing with trying to get other stuff done. But Klay Thompson knows that. And it's you know, I think there is a part of Klay Thompson, and I would almost even say a large part of Klay Thompson, that is internally debating right now, like, whether he just wants to leave, you know, regardless of money, years, this, that, like, and that's part of, you know, the story I put out last week was, I think, bringing that reality a little bit more to the public, that I think there's too much of this national perception, outside perception that, oh, maybe he's, you know, looking at a deal that he doesn't really like monies and years wise. And, you know, eventually maybe him and the Warriors will get back together. But both sides, of course, you know, would love for this reunion to happen. That's just not necessarily where it is right now. You know, I do think it's possible it comes back together. There's a lot of conversations that will happen between, you know, now and let's say July 3rd, July 4th, whenever decision time does come. And there's a lot of moves or non-moves that the Warriors need to make that really impact the money and the situation that he would maybe be coming back to. But, you know, I mean, and you guys have talked about it all year, but there is just a chance, particularly from the Klay side, that just a breakup is needed, a fresh start is needed. And I would say it's leaning that way. Again, I don't want to go too definitive because things change this time of year. The situation can change. The money either on the market can change enough, the Warriors offer whatever, that maybe it comes back together, but that is not the way it's trending.
Do the Warriors even, like, at their core, they say out loud, hey, we want him back. For example, Steve Kerr saying on the Jim Rome show, and there's a public face you got to put out there. Internally, do they want him back at all? Like, forget money and years. Do they even want him back at all?
Yeah, I think, you know, for the right money, the right price, and the right mindset, that, you know, if he came back and you know, if it's just, if the entire vibe is happier, I think they would. But, like, it was an unhappy season for Klay Thompson last year. I mean, we all saw it. We can go through, you know, blow by blow, yeah, if you guys want to.
No, we've done that already.
It wasn't that hidden what right. was happening. And, like, you know, him kind of coming to grips at this stage of his career. Obviously the finances involved, I really think the lack of communication and motivation from the front office to get something done with him, was, you know, kind of looming over everything. There was a benching, you know, there was, you know, the closing time situations, again, stuff you all know. And it's just, I think part of what he's deciding right now is, like, is from a happiness perspective, from a mental health perspective. And we all know he, like, really kind of dives deep into that and, like, you know, what is it, you know, will make him happy. I think he's deciding, like, you know, I think there's a lot of benefits to the Bay, benefits to the legendary status and, like, you know, living here, boats, all that. But there's also, like, he might just want to go try something new at this stage of his career.
So, like, to me, there's, like, a multiple layers to this. There's obviously the emotional component, which is real, right? And, like, hey, I helped build this and yada. What's the role that they envision for him regardless? Because I have a hard time thinking, let's say they make no big moves, hypothetically, no big moves, Pajemski, Moody, you know, we're prioritizing them and you're going to accept that. I have a hard time that the coach sticks to that plan for a long time and that he's willing to accept that. Is role a big part of all of this?
Yeah, I think it's, like, contentness within. It's not like, okay, you're guaranteed to be a six man. You're guaranteed it's going to be 22 to 24 minutes a night. But it's definitely the idea of, like, you're coming back to a certain, you know, certain nights you're playing smaller minutes. You know, certain nights you're being minimized. Certain stretches of games, as you know, if we're talking about multi-year type deals, like, you know, what is he right now, 34? Like, by the time you're 37, you know, you maybe are shifting more towards the Andre Iguodala, you know, style role, especially if Moses Moody is in year six and Pajemski's in year four. You know, I think there's a bigger picture view of it that the finances obviously also play into. It's, you know, there's the up top situation too with the fact that, you know, I don't think that they have shown the love to him financially that he necessarily thought was coming. And it's not just like, oh, strict dollars and cents on the table. It's literally just like conversations about my future. It's just been very much over the last couple years, like, we'll get to it when we get to it.
Wow.
Like, I mean, it's what's happening right now. Yep. It's what's happening.
But not to defend the Warriors, but, like, with the modern CBA changing after the Wiggins deal was the extent, like, they extended Poole and Wiggins, and then the CBA changed 6 months later. Like, can we really fault the Warriors for, like, hey, we got to, like, pump the brakes here because we don't really understand this new CBA?
No, you don't have to fault the Warriors. I think it's very reasonable, the tack they're taking right now. Like, you know, your guys, I'm sure, are going to ask me plenty about the Paul George situation. Yeah. Like, yeah, if you have a chance at Paul George or other big fish this week, like, go after it. Hey, by the way, you know, remember the LeBron James, like, yep. you know, jaded chase towards the deadline? Who might have been in that deal?
Yep. Klay Thompson. Yeah, I heard it was Klay Thompson.
So the point would be, like, yeah, we could sit here and argue from a basketball perspective why you definitely would, like, you know, go down these roads, but also, like, Klay Thompson knows what that means for him.
Right.
Like, what's going on right now? All these, like, big fish that the Warriors are chasing and various deals and the way they affect aprons and money, there's chances if they succeed in what they're trying to do, he's gone regardless. Right. Right?
Yep.
This is a business. Klay Thompson has representatives. Klay Thompson has smart people, and Klay Thompson is smart himself about the business. He knows that they're literally saying, hey, we hope we succeed in some things that might mean you're gone. So he can just sit back and go, how about I just make the choice for you? You know what I mean? I'm not, and again, I'm not saying it's over. I do not want that out there, but this is what has happened to this point. And some of the sequencing of this offseason, the Chris Paul guarantee date being Friday, which is before free agency, that has forced the Warriors' hand to, like, you know, prioritize some other stuff. So some of it's just timing. And again, it's timing with when he's extension eligible compared to when Poole was, when Wiggins was, when Draymond was. Maybe if Klay, you know, again, if Klay was just had a player option for this past year instead of when he signed that full max back after the ACL, he did no player options. Yep. Had he got a player option then and had more leverage last summer, he probably would have leveraged his way into a longer-term deal at the time. He was coming off leading the league in threes. This is when he's up. This is a bad time for him to be up. And that's not even just with the Warriors, right? That's with the market league-wide, general.
Yep.
But it's also just led to, it's a lot of factors leading to this moment, including the fact that they were the 10 seed last year, and now the second apron's kicking in, and now the money, and it's just a lot of stuff that, if 10 days from now we are telling the story of a breakup, a very surprising breakup, I think, to a lot of people, that it's all part of it.
Anthony Slater live in studio here on the morning, also on 95.7 The Game, our 95.7 The Game insider, and insider for The Athletic, covers the Golden State Warriors. Klay Thompson came off the bench, and he came off the bench the day before the All-Star break in Utah, and he lit it up in that first half, and I know there was some reluctancy to do that. Over those 14 games, he played well off the bench, but behind the scenes, how was he feeling? Because he told us on front end, I'm loving it, I'm getting to watch the game flow, blah, 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 but was that just lip service saying, you know what, I'll roll with it right now, I know I'm out of here because I don't think Pods or Moody should be starting over me.
Do you guys remember the game before he got benched?
It was the Brooklyn game? Or no, it was the Clippers? Don't. Was it Clippers?
So it was a home Clippers game. Yep. They lost.
Yeah.
He got benched down the stretch, which wasn't the first time. Yep. It was maybe like the fifth time or something like that. He was frustrated over there on the bench as they were, by the way, blowing a lead. One of those big, bad blown leads. And, like, you know, he's over there watching the team kind of screw up at the end, and he's not on the court. He's not particularly happy about it. But then they do put him in with like 30 seconds left. Remember, he commits the foul that Steve's like up in arms, like, why'd you commit that foul? They bench him the next day. It was right before the All-Star break. The first game, last game before the All-Star break, as you said. That was a turbulent time around them for various reasons, right? That was a horrible loss. Klay made a huge mistake. There was already, like, should Klay be starting? Should he not be? The post-game was relatively awkward. You know, Steve's like, no, like, that was a no foul situation.
Right.
We knew not to foul. He fouled. That wasn't like, which I don't think led into the great conversation about coming off the bench. Obviously, he accepted it. He came out that night, was like, old school,
he lit,
like,
it up.
Yeah.
He did the halftime interview with Vincent Bukki.
What did he have at half that night?
Like 20 plus. Yeah. It was unreal.
And then, you know, and this is Klay in a lot of ways, where sometimes he kind of has these moments, grumpy moments, you know, responses to stuff, especially because he just has this, like, deep competitive fire within him. And then he, maybe a day or two later, gives a press conference where you're like, wow, that was really introspective and, you know, egoless, like blaming himself. Hey, I shouldn't have handled it this way. Hey, I shouldn't have said that. Hey, how about Manu Ginobili? You know, he even mentioned Manu that night. So there's always a back and forth with that, I think, with him emotionally. But, like, how did he handle it? Like, he played really well off the bench, but I do know one of the points he continued to make during that stretch, I remember he did it in Washington, the same time Chris Paul comes back in Washington, he's back. They both, well, I remember they both had interesting quotes that night, but Clay's was basically like, look, if I'm getting 25 to 30 minutes regardless, like, I guess it doesn't really matter if I'm coming off the bench. I'm basically still playing starter minutes. And that's the truth. Yep. You look down the stretch of the season, he was playing, you know, starter minutes. He was still third, fourth on the team in minutes played. So I think that matters to him more than, like, I just don't think he wants to be like a 18-minute
player.
Every time that he was on the bench when he was closing, it just felt body language wise, which is fair or unfair, but that's all we see on television.
Well, see, I don't think it's just the closing. I think it's the fact too that you're seeing a rookie in Brandon Podziemski, who had a solid rookie season, first team all rookie, but Clay's probably thinking, I'm better than that guy. I should be closing. I've closed with these guys in finals games, and Pods is closing, and he's never been here before, and he's goofing around, and then all of a sudden, Clay started again at the end of the year because Pods hit that little rookie wall for a second.
This, to me, is where like their really bad starts over the last two seasons really snowballed on both seasons, where you could have made choices in the bigger picture, protective of Clay or you know, the rookies. James Wiseman, if we went back a couple of years ago, you could have made rotation decisions that had the bigger picture in mind had you not been chasing the standings the entire season, where felt big. That's why, remember, they went to 3-7 two seasons ago, and then they're like, look, we got to bench James Wiseman. And I know the fan base was up in arms because it was like, why is Anthony Lamb on the floor at times over Kuminga, this or that? And like, Steve's explanation was always like, look, we have to win tonight.
Right.
Anthony Lamb's plus minus is good. He connects the lineups, you know, makes the ball flow. And the coaching staff's belief was, we have a better chance to beat the Pelicans tonight, whoever, if he's playing 20 minutes over, you know, Kuminga, Wiseman, whoever. And part of that was because they just had to, these last two seasons, they've had to win every night because they've gotten behind so much.
So hypothetically, he walks into that locker room, Klay Thompson, next year. A similar locker room to this year. How's he received? How are his relationships with the coach, the coaching staff, Steph, Draymond, everyone?
We'll see. I mean, I think if he decides to sign back with the Warriors, I think a lot of the like deeper conversations will have been had.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's, and again, I think part of what's going on right now is like him deciding, like, do I want that? But I think if he does decide, yes, I want that, I think that's because he's will, you know, come to feel comfortable about the situation he's walking back into, or, you know, the situation he doesn't have available to him necessarily in the outside world. But I don't think, this isn't to say that there's like some deeply fractured, you know, Warriors don't want him back. I think they do, but again, I think they're driving a little bit more of a harder line and saying, like, you know, if you come back, it's for this money, this, you know, more of an unknown role. It's not like, hey, you're playing this role, but it's like, hey, you know, you're guaranteed nothing. And he just got to decide if he's okay with that. And if he does decide he's okay with that, I do think they'll almost hold him to that. You know, hey, you decided you wanted to come back. But again, there's so much going on.
That'd be tough for Clay. I can't envision that. Like, hey, yeah, I agree to everything. I'm coming back with a lesser role. And then you go out there and you're seeing Pods and you're seeing Moody. And then if they do take a jump, great. But if they don't and the Warriors are still scuffling around 500, when is Clay all of a sudden like, I need to play 30? And then all of a sudden he starts shot hunting again, you know, because he gets into that mode where he's like, well, nobody's getting theirs, we're struggling, I'm going to try to get mine. That's a sticky situation. I don't know if the Warriors should sign up for that.
Well, I think there would be an understanding within all these conversations that also, like, there's also nothing gifted to the young guys either.
No.
Like, if I come to camp and I'm, you know, looking good and, you know, hitting, you know, Clay still, even this version of Clay, goes on like month-long stretches where he's like the best shooter in the league. You know, 22 a game on like 44% from three, high volume. I mean, you go look at his season numbers last year, even with that horrible start, it's still like high level three and, you know, half D. Like, he's kind of become more of like a 3-4 on the defensive end. You want him on bigger wings. But, like, you know, if he's like, By the end of last season, 0-10 aside, the 0-10 in Sacramento aside, he was one of their top 5-6 best players in the last month, 2 months. Like,
I'm glad you said that, not me, because I'm the Clay apologist. Let me ask you this. If Clay had the same deal from the Warriors and the Orlando Magic, which deal do you think he's taking? Is he staying in the Bay Area, or would he go down to Orlando?
I don't think he's going to Orlando.
You think that's dead?
Yeah. I do. I guess it could all revive. It seems like Orlando's going in a different direction.
It sounds like they're going to the KCP direction from what I'm hearing. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope could be an option for Orlando after they missed out on Malik Monk. Yeah, you're hearing the same thing, huh? You're hearing the same thing?
You said it.
Where's
Clay's landing spots now?
I think that still has to materialize. I think the Paul George domino is massive here, not just obviously, you know, maybe the Warriors get him, but like, you know, does he go back to the Clippers and then Philly's got a bunch of cap space? Does he go to Philly and then, you know, the Clippers are in scramble mode and are trying to reconfigure rosters? If there's, you know, a lot of times what happens as you go into the market, suddenly you'll see a team trade a bunch of like a $17 million player and a $10 million player to Washington and San Antonio and give them picks because it's like, why are they doing that? Oh, they're clearing cap space for somebody.
Right.
So there could be some, I'll just say this, there could be some surprising landing spots out there for Klay Thompson. I'm not trying to name any teams right now, but there's a lot is in the air right now.
What does Steph Curry want? What does he want with this team right now? Because we haven't heard from him. And I think a lot of this revolves around, obviously, what he wants. Like, has he made his preference on who he wants, irregardless of Clay? Has he made his preference on who he wants on this roster?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's in the bring Clay back camp for sure. You know, he's like, I think, probably the most vocal. You know, if we're just talking Clay, if we're talking just a bigger picture, I mean, he just, you know, he wants a better team, but he's not just,
right,
at least in my opinion, or in my understanding, he's not just like, you know, flipping tables, like, if you don't do this, like, I'm asking out type thing. I don't expect that. But, you know, he's in on these bigger picture conversations. You know, he's communicative with Mike Dunleavy. And, you know, we'll see what gets done. At some point, I'm sure we're going to get into the Paul George conversation.
Yeah,
I tend to think he's interested in that possibility. And, you know, if calls can legally be made, I'm sure he will, you know, pick up the phone. He's
a birder.
If you know him or if he wants to talk to you, he'll talk to you on the phone.
Hey, listen, they follow each other on Instagram, so maybe the DMs are wide open for Paul George and Stephen Curry. How does Draymond feel about Clay? Because he's part of the big three as well.
Yeah.
And he's here. How's he feel about bringing Clay back? Does he want Clay
back? How does Clay feel about him?
Look, I think Draymond, I'm assume, would love to have Clay back, but I think Draymond's, you know, wants this team to be good like Steph wants this team to be good, you know, and we will see. As far as their relationship, I mean, I think it's fine. I think there's a deep level of respect for what both have meant to each other over the years. You know, I know we talked even last time I was on about you know, the press conference that Draymond had after the season that I think just struck a chord in a sense of, like, Clay, we talked about it at the time, but Clay doesn't like that, I guess, storyline that he owes the Warriors something because, you know, basically they paid him for two seasons not to play because, I mean, I think it's a fair point on his side that, like, yeah, how did I tear my ACL again?
Yeah,
oh, you mean game six of the finals? Right. Like, yeah. You know, he was probably the best player on the floor.
I thought we were going back to Toronto, Anthony. He hit that three for 26 feet. I said, all right, back to Toronto we go.
And then, by the way, like, demanded to come out of the Oracle locker room to shoot the free throws.
Yep.
Tried to get back on the defensive end before Steve Kerr had to call timeout. And as he's leaving the floor with a torn ACL, he's telling Steve, like, give me 2 minutes. I'll be ready to start the fourth. Like, that is the, like, Were you guys in Oracle that night?
Oh, yes, absolutely. No,
I was waiting to do the postgame show at the studio watching the game.
I was there, Anthony. It was surreal.
Like, history still matters, right?
Of course.
And that's why, you know, within all these conversations, sure, we can, like, cold-heartedly look at, like, yeah, if you could get a Paul George, ooh, can you get in on, like, a Lauri Markkanen right now? Or, you know, what pieces would make sense? Like, yeah, sure. Yeah, leave Clay to the side right now, you know, because he's, at this point, not on their level of player. Yeah, but, like, Klay Thompson knows who he has been to this area.
And I can't believe it, though. And I've been saying this to him blue in the face. I know there's some clunky moments, a lot of clunky moments. But two seasons ago, he leads the league in threes and made threes, and he shoots 41% from three. I think that's good, right? I mean, 41% from three.
But most of our heroes don't stay on their team forever. Chris
they don't
Mullen,
stay. No, I hear that.
Know,
no, no,
Ronnie
no. That's not my
Jerry
point,
Shasky.
That's not my point, Shasky. My point is, the conversation around Clay is that he's washed, he's done,
well,
he's cooked.
Overly aggressive.
He just led the league and made threes, and last year came off the bench, shot 42% from three off the bench, and then shot like 38-39 from three.
But the question
throughout the
isn't,
season.
The
so
question
like,
isn't,
so
is
that was
washed?
My thing. No. He brought up, Anthony brought up history.
Yeah.
So it's like the history over the last 2 years has even been skewed to where it's like, he's just not a serviceable player. any NBA player will tell you 19 points a game is, you know, 19 points a game in the NBA is the toughest league in the world.
I know, but like using the video game analogy, going from a 99 to an 85 or an 81 or whatever is a precipitous drop off in your own mind and in the fans' mind. And so it's tough to come to an acceptance with that.
He's washed when he has those type of numbers. That's my whole point.
He's not washed. Is there any scenario where it's Steph, Draymond, Clay, and someone like Paul George?
Paul George might be a little bit difficult because of the money he would command. Because that's what's going on with Paul George. Right? He's searching for his max.
That's why I'm asking. Like, is there any way?
Well, sure. The way is like Clay on like a, you know, we're talking like a mid-level type rate. You know, at that point, you know, because this is where it gets tricky, and like we almost all have to like get our calculators and the CBA notes out, because this Mikal Bridges trade that just happened yesterday just brought up a new rule that I'm learning now with this first apron, second apron, where and like this is going to be a very, you know, nuanced, long-winded way to get there. But the fact that the Knicks traded Bogdanovich, who makes less than Mikal Bridges, for Mikal Bridges, they're technically now locked, hard capped at the first apron, not the second apron, because if you make a trade where you're bringing in more money than you give out, you get locked in at the first apron, which is way lower. Whereas technically now the Nets are locked in at the second apron. So like making a trade for Paul George at minimum would lock them into the second apron. If they are bringing in more money, then that would actually lock them in at the first apron. And again, I don't even want to confuse all the listeners. Yeah, I'm confusing myself almost, because these are all new rules. The CBA was already too complicated. Right. But there's all these new rules that Mike Dunleavy was talking at the press conference the other day. They just brought in a new cap guy from Detroit, John Phelps. He's replacing Anzi Sala, who went to Atlanta.
After buying out Monty?
Yeah. And he's basically saying, I got to hit up John like 20 times a day right now to be like, is this legal, this illegal? And by the way, stuff can be legal right now in June, that it's July 1st when it triggers. But a lot of these trades, even if you agree to them and they're announced or they're reported, won't actually be able to go down until July. So the new rules will be under, I guess, the situation. So to answer your question, I think it would be very hard to get a Paul George in and have Clay back because of the money situation. But the way to potentially do that is Clay coming back on a real discount. And I guess my overall point is like, I think if Clay knows he's taking a discount, I'm not sure he'd want it to be with the Warriors. We'll see. Yeah. Again, I'm qualifying everything.
Yeah.
Because like there's so much going on in the league right now.
Let's get into Paul George on the other side. Let's dive deeper into it. We'll play some sound from Windhorse, play some sound from CJ McCollum. The voice you hear is Anthony Slater, our 95.7 Game Insider. He's going to be hanging out with us until 10 a.m. here on the Morning Roast. And that's all coming up, because the NBA draft is today. The first round starts at 5 p.m. Wednesday, and the second round begins tomorrow at 1 p.m. I'm so confused with the draft now. We'll be live at Warriors headquarters both days. Willard and Dibs from Thrive City starting today at 2 p.m., and then Steiny and Goo tomorrow at 10 a.m. And that's what's coming up on the Game, brought to you by Safeway.
Head to Safeway this week to get ready for the 4th of July. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, digital coupon, limit one package. Price valid through July 4th. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain brings over six decades of plumbing expertise to the Bay Area. Whether it's service plumbing or new construction, residential or commercial projects, they have you covered. Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain provides free estimates with no show-up fees, and you have the option to choose between hourly or flat rate pricing. Call 8444-FLO-H2O. That's 8444-FLO-H2O. And tell them Shasky and Bonte sent you, and you will receive 15% off. That's right. The number is 8444-FLO-H2O.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This is Clay Thompson, and you are listening to the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. You better not be roasting me if I'm giving all these intros.
Said that? Oh, absolutely not. Nobody's roasting. Was that James Kincaid? By the way, Clay Thompson, will he be a Warrior by next week? We'll see. We'll see about that. We have Anthony Slater live in studio, our 95.7 Game Insider. Does a terrific job for The Athletic. My favorite reads. Breaks down the game very well. Teaches everybody something with his clips inside of his articles. We're talking to him about the Warriors offseason here. We've gotten to Clay Thompson. By the way, if you're looking for more Giants talk, listen to Garlic Fries and Baseball.
Oh, I was
going
to say, no Giants. Yeah, with two in a row, right?
Two in a row. They won last starting pitchers. Yeah, with no starters.
How does my 12U team have more starters than the San Francisco Giants with a $200 million payroll? How?
I saw Blake Snell out in Sacramento, the area I live the other day.
Yeah, complaining about the Giants pushing him to actually earn his money.
I mean, he almost got out of the second.
That guy.
I mean, geez, 30 million, baby. What is it, 32, 33?
Scott Missile Snell, who throws it like three feet in front of home plate, drives me nuts.
Boy. He has two Cy Youngs.
Yeah, and a couple mediocre seasons packed in between.
Trust me, that wasn't the conversation when he signed.
I know it wasn't because I remember coming on one of the weekly hits mid-season, and this was right after they got Soler. Yeah. And I think I said something about the Guardians, and he was like, "Are you kidding me, Soler? 40 home runs, Cy Young,
my God!" I'm sitting here lukewarm, but I'm the hater,
Anthony. Like Wall Street, stocks go up and they go down. And so when I presented with new information, I would be a fool not to pivot. I have a saying. It's called pivot, don't panic.
I believe I mentioned, that might be good enough for like the third wild card. And you're like, the Diamondbacks came out of that. Which I guess is a fact.
Actually correct. The Diamondbacks do have a ton of injuries now.
And the Giants are still in a race, right? They're not mathematically out of it.
I mean, ooh, that NL.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Giants, Garlic Fries, Baseball Guys, Joe Shasky, Sam Lovett, Best Giants talk in the Bay Area all season long. Hear in-depth analysis and insights as well as exclusive interviews with players. New episode available now. Subscribe today on iTunes, Spotify, and the free Odyssey app. All right, Brian Windhorst said this morning on Get Up about Paul George.
Paul George, frankly, wants 4 years. He wants a full-out max. And there are a number of teams out there, I am told, that are prepared to give it to him, who are prepared to trade for him. One of those teams, potentially, is up the coast in Golden State. Golden State is big fish hunting. Remember, last trade deadline, they put a call in about LeBron James. They are sniffing around big deals. If Paul George is willing to leave, they would like to be an option for him. But any of these places that Paul would need to go via trade would have to get worked out with the Clippers and would have to get worked out by Saturday. The Clippers, I think, are in a position where they kind of want to call Paul's bluff, yeah, that he would actually want to leave his hometown of L.A. So that's one of the most interesting things to watch in terms of stare downs between now and this weekend.
So Paul George, and he mentioned the Lakers and how the Warriors were big game hunting with LeBron James, and that is factual. And I heard LeBron James approved a damn trade, and the Lakers like, hell no, we're not trading you up there to go to state right now. We're not going to do that.
Is Bonte getting aggregated today?
No, don't quote me on this.
I wanted it.
Don't quote me on it.
I didn't
trust
business
me.
Standpoint.
Listen, I just heard from what I heard.
I just hope it's him getting aggregated.
Yeah, no, don't aggravate me on that. But I heard that LeBron's accepted it.
You didn't hear what happened? Bonte just got new representation. Clutch.
Ooh,
yeah, he's going to be on the JJ pod.
Boy.
Hi, I'm Bonte Hill, and your new Laker coach, JJ Redick.
What is it? The three guys in what is the podcast? A weird name.
Old man and the
old man and the three. Well, it's kind of weird. Kind of weird name. He's not going to podcast anymore.
I mean, we know nothing about weird names.
But to that point. LeBron James and the Lakers, the Warriors did look after it, and I heard Clay was going to be part of the deal, but it didn't happen or whatnot. Slater kind of hinted at it. He hinted at it. Don't quote me on that. Don't put that out there. Do not put that out there.
There's a difference between hinting and saying. I've learned it over the years.
So anyway, Paul George.
Yeah.
Your thoughts,
yeah,
Anthony.
He's appealing for a few reasons. Number one, he's Paul George, right? He's very good. But two, like, you saw the price tag for Mikal Bridges. Well, part of the reason it was so high is because Mikal Bridges has, what, 2-3 years left on his deal, mm-hmm, right? He's not, you know, he's locked into his team. Paul George is not locked into the Clippers. He can leave the Clippers this weekend, essentially. Whereas, so that makes the trade price much lower because Paul George has an insane amount of leverage in this situation. He can decide where he wants to go. Now, the Clippers have to play ball if he wants to go to a place that doesn't have cap space, right? He could just go, hey, I'm going to Philly, and like you're getting nothing.
Yeah.
But if he wants to go to the Warriors, theoretically, he could tell the Clippers, like, hey, you know, I'm opt in and trade me to the Warriors before my deadline. Like, let's agree to that, or I will leave anyways. So that means that the Clippers cannot just suddenly demand, oh, give us all your picks, give us all your best players, give us this, give us that. It's almost like he's a free agent. It's what Chris Paul did to the Clippers back when he went to Houston. Go look at the package Houston got. Like, it wasn't that good. It was like Pat Bev, like, you know, a pick or two, you know, some salary filler. Like, you got to match salaries and all that, especially with all these apron rules. So it's not nothing. Like, there would be things going out from the Warriors, but it's like, it is not some crazy bidding war where let's say it's not the OKC deal.
Seven first, or whatever.
So you're saying that theoretically, it's a possibility that CP3, Andrew Wiggins, and maybe a couple picks, you can go get
yourself. Yeah, I mean, this is where the Chris Paul salary matters here. That's where his
if they're going to accept that, give me Paul George right now.
Well, you know,
I just don't believe the Clippers would do that. But if they did,
my guy,
if they did,
come on to my side of the boat.
No, I was already on the side. I just wasn't on the side of giving up everything and five first round picks for Paul George. I'm not doing that.
But this is like, Paul George is running this situation.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, that is what is very different. Like, let's say, a Lauri Markkanen is of it. I'm not saying that, but let's say, he's very appealing. Lauri Markkanen is not running that situation. The Utah Jazz are running that situation.
Yeah,
you know, you got, like, Paul George has to want to come. And then, you know, I think, like, the Clippers do have some level of power in the sense that, like, the Warriors, he could say, hey, fine, you know, Clippers, you're not doing what I want. Well, then I'm walking. He can't just then walk to the Warriors. He basically would need the Sixers to scare the Clippers enough, right? Or, you know, another cap space team. Because part of what's going on right now is he's trying to get his full max. Right?
Yeah, he's posturing. Yeah, but you can only have, my understanding is, you can only have 5 years on a contract in the NBA currently. So the maximum you can have under the new CBA is 5 years. So if he opts in, a 4-year extension would give him the total of 5 years on his deal. Am I reading this?
Yeah, you know, and again, right, we're getting into,
I know. I've done all my studying.
I believe his opt-in and max is for like 220.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little over 50 a year. Yeah. And these numbers are going crazy.
No, I know they are. Yeah, like, but that's not the question.
It's monopoly money.
It's all monopoly money.
Would the Clippers do that, though? Would they want to do business with the Warriors?
Would Kuminga have to be a part of that deal is the question that I have.
No. I mean, I'm not saying he... we're not at the stage, at least from my understanding, it's not at the stage that they're, you know, you're talking about who, what would get it done, but like there is a lack of leverage that the Clippers have. It's why, you know, I actually think it was important last night that the, for the Warriors, that the Knicks went the Bridges route, because the Knicks were a very rumored team in this Paul George mix too. And like, obviously that's off the table, right? They made their big move. Yeah, I don't think it would have to be some overwhelming package. The thing is, you just have to have Paul George want to come to the Warriors. And I think we all know, like, Paul George, it seemed to be his preference would be stay
West Coast.
Yeah. But not just West Coast, L.A., right?
Yeah.
You know, like, I think if the Clippers full maxed him, especially full max extension back when Kawhi signed the extension, he'd probably just be locked into the Clippers. You know, there are people who are maybe more connected. You know, Windhorst is a great example. He was talking today. I know you guys played the clip. Like, he would have a better feeling than I currently have on, like, how gone it is between Paul George and the Clippers or not gone. You know, if the Clippers feel enough pressure here, may they just say, hey, you know what? We didn't want a full max you. We will. And then he stays. I don't know. I tend to think his preference would be L.A.
Yeah.
But I don't know that for sure.
Wow. If the Clippers, except that Chris Paul and Wiggins come, like, wow, oh my God, I'd do that in a heartbeat. But would the Clippers really do business with Steve Ballmer and company, knowing that Jerry West just passed away? You know how he felt about Joe Lacob in his later days. It was not a good breakup between
Knicks
Jerry
and
West
Nets
and the Warriors.
Made a trade last night.
They did make a trade last night.
Is there really that much like animosity between the Clippers?
Oh, the Elton Brand deal back in 2009 when they signed the offer sheet and they took Baron Davis from us and we took Corey Maggette. This is going way back. You probably don't even know what I'm talking about.
The truth is the Clippers need... If, like, Paul George is leaving the Clippers...
They need something in return.
It's better than nothing, right?
Yeah.
Especially given where they are financially.
Yes. He could tell them nothing. Now, like, that does make some of these salaries, like, a little bit more unpalatable for the Clippers. Like, you know, they don't want to necessarily take on big money. But I guess part of the appeal of Chris Paul is, like, you know, it's an expiring. It's 1 year, it's 30. It's expiring, though. You know, and there's ways for them to pivot. We'll see, but that
pick
is
James
why
Harden over Paul George, unbelievable.
I don't know. I think it's Paul George picking. They're going to end up with James Harden and Kawhi. I understand that. By the way, there's a chance if Paul leaves, like maybe they just pivot off Harden and like they have to reset. You know, like there's a lot going on, but you know. That could open up a potential Klay Thompson landing spot, and you know what I mean.
With the Clippers,
like,
yeah, we'll and he goes back home
like,
to LA.
Again, I'm just this is such a spitball time of year. I don't want it to come out.
Yeah,
like,
no
you
doubt.
Know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're reporting that exclusively here on 95.7
The Game. Now with Sacramento, if the price is lowered, with the Kings, want to get in on the mix.
I know.
Yeah, you know, Sacramento, we've reported.
I know we're talking Warriors, but I mean, come on, there's another team you may have to compete with. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. No, I might be up
the price
a golden
is down,
one tonight.
Who would be asking?
Yeah.
George is hitting up slates. So what do you think of the G1 Center?
The Kings are very active right now. They were really close to getting Alex Caruso last week for the 13th pick. The 13th pick is on the table. You should read about that in The Athletic. We reported.
Yeah, I know you did.
I don't click on Kings content, though.
This was spicy Kings
content. It's real good content.
And as I think the spice. Point, I think the point that Bonte is trying to make is like all of it intertwines right
now.
No,
I hear you.
League.
Yeah.
You know, again, like
connectivity.
You may not think the Knicks-Nets trade matter to the Warriors, but I, you know, for various reasons, I think it kind of does.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up because...
Hey, Shasky, real quick, PG did play in Oklahoma City and Indiana. He loves small markets. He's accustomed to that.
Sure. I just have no problem with this. This isn't Kings talk, so I don't care about the Kings. But here's what I would say to you. So you're asking about connectivity. When I'm reading the articles about the long form articles about the Bridges trade, the thing that stuck out to me was Memphis was involved and Utah was involved. And I said, well, then that probably means they're building around Lauri Markkanen, not trading Lauri Markkanen. Though, is that up in the air as well? What's going on there?
Yeah, again, everything's up in the air. Danny Ainge is pretty, like, tight, you know, holds it pretty tight to the vest, a little bit like Oklahoma City, in a sense. Like, did you see Giddy for Caruso coming last
week? I saw Giddy going after that playoffs. It just felt like he was the odd man out.
For sure, but, like, you know, like, there wasn't any,
agreed.
You know,
I had no idea Chicago's in the mix.
Nah, yeah, I didn't know Chicago.
A lot of the, like, there's so much conversation around this time of year, and teams may want to do one thing and then may decide they have to pivot to the other. I don't know. Like, if Markkanen is to be traded, it would in my opinion, be a ridiculous haul, right? Considering the contract he's on, what he's become as a player. I couldn't imagine, if we're just talking Warriors, like, I'm not, like, they would certainly be interested. That would be the type of deal where, like, a lot of the assets.
As in Kuminga?
I would imagine. If you're Utah.
And you're Danny Ainge, too. Yeah. Danny Ainge is a stickler for picks, and he's gonna hold out.
So let's just look at, like, the Thunder as an example. What do the Thunder need, right? They need, like, a kind of a taller, bigger shooter who can rebound a little bit, can help, you know, protect the lane with Chet Holmgren, but can kind of keep their flowing offense going. They have enough space and money to be maneuverable. Like, is Lauri Markkanen not perfect for that, like, final piece in Oklahoma City?
Oh, no. Right? I think a lot of guys fit well in Oklahoma City, but for sure. Your point is well taken.
So that's point number one. Point number two is, imagine the trade package that the
Thunder, they would have a tremendous package. I mean, they have Isaiah Joe, who they can opt into $3 million or
Isaiah
so.
Joe is like the little, like, you know, right. Hershey's kiss right. on the top.
I'm just saying, they have a player like that who's just a shooter, a raw
Payson
shooter.
Payson Wallace.
Yeah, they've got a lot of these.
He did play well.
The other Jalen Williams, if they wanted to move off
Arkansas
him.
Jalen Williams.
They have, every first round pick imaginable.
Yeah.
That's what the Warriors don't have. They have nine guaranteed first round picks over the next 6 years. They could be up to like 14 or 15.
They have the 12th pick tonight.
Wow. So that's
this draft feels like an afterthought, though.
It does, but there's going to be a lot of movement possibly.
There's the one thing is, like, there's enough, like, player. There's, like, you don't want the first pick in this draft. It's, like, really bad.
Atlanta.
Yeah, I know. Terrible year for that. But it's basically, you know, as you get closer and you study this draft a little bit more, I mean, what people say is, like, this is a draft that basically starts like it's starting at the 7th pick.
Mm.
But after that, it's, like, still a bunch of, you know, possible rotation players. And if you just get a, you know, I know the Kings are dealing with it tonight. They got the 13th pick. I think if it gets to 13, and theoretically, let's say the Wizards really like somebody that's fallen to 13, it's theoretically possible they could flip 13 to Washington for Kuzma, you know, throw with some filler. Mm. Because there's a lot of guys that I think these front offices, depending on who falls, who doesn't, will believe, oh, you know, that I do like that guy. That guy we had 4th on the board, and he's 13th. Zach Edey, I think somebody's going to... There's probably front offices out there that think Zach Edey's like a starting center in this league, and he's probably going to be available late lottery.
Bronny.
Let me ask you about this. You brought up Atlanta. Yeah. Would DeJounte Murray be on the move, and is that a guy that could fit in with the Golden State? Because I do want to go back to Paul George and ask you, where does that place the Warriors in the West, hypothetically, if they did get a Paul George and they didn't have to trade Kuminga? But what about DeJounte Murray? Is he on the block right now, Slater? Yeah, what did you hear about him?
I think Atlanta might be the team tonight that has to, like, choose where they're going. Maybe it doesn't necessarily have to be tonight, but the team over the next few weeks where, like, they lucked into the first pick, right? They were, like, 11th lottery odds, something like that. Now, it's not, as we talked about, this ain't a Wimby year. If they lucked into Wimby, they'd probably just change in everything.
Right.
But, I mean, you hear that they're going to likely this summer move off one of Trae Young or DeJounte Murray. But I thought, and the league thought, they were going to trade DeJounte Murray at the deadline, and they just didn't like the offers.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of them is probably getting moved this summer, especially because they're bringing in this new first-round pick. I think they're going to kind of change who they are. The front office has shifted, I mean, as you mentioned, including they just, like, from what I understand, Anzi, who left the Warriors, like, part of the reason he left the Warriors because he's getting a pretty high-ranking position there, probably, you know, basically the number two there. And he's a smart guy, you know, and a cap guy, legal guy. Like, he'll put his imprints on the situation there. And, like, you know, I do think there's a good level of communication between the Warriors and the Hawks front office, and relationships matter in this league a lot. So if the Warriors want to get in the mix, I think they could. Now, well, I don't know. Like, Trae Young doesn't fit here, right?
No.
Now, Murray, you could argue, right?
Better fit.
I actually like him alongside Steph. I don't think it's as good as Paul George, but I think it's not bad.
They weren't that... At the past deadline, they weren't that interested. They could have, you know, he was available for the right price. You would have had to probably overpay, but I think you probably would have to now. They didn't show that much interest then. I'm not saying that can't change now.
Paul George, he comes here. Because now, if the Clippers, if they're not asking for Jonathan Kuminga, then I'm really all in. And I don't care what the 2029 first round pick is. I really don't care right now because you're maximizing Steph window. But where does that... rank the Warriors? Where does that place the Warriors in the Western Conference? With just a Paul George? And I know you got to fill out the roster. You got to get other big. What are you going to do with Looney? Are you going to keep GP2? Are you going to have TJD around? I don't know what the rest of the roster looks like, but does Paul George, like, does he add 7 wins to the Warriors' win total? They won 46 last year.
I think just not screwing up at the end of the game should add a few wins.
His IQ is good.
Yeah, I like Paul George. Now, like, let's look. Last year, he had a good year last year. He played a lot of games. 74 games played last year, which is like
highest in a long time. Slate.
Yes, it is.
Like 55, 56, 54.
23 per game, 48%, 41% from three, 90% from the line. He's a smooth player, can defend, right? That's the big thing. Yeah, he's what they need. Yes, they're a significantly better team. Do they leap ahead of the Nuggets? Well, if the Nuggets lose KCP, as our friend over here was indicating, it's possible.
Well, Orlando, I'm just trying to connect the dots. That's all. I don't know anything. I'm just trying to connect the dots on what teams need.
Are you turning into Mad Duck? I don't know anybody. I haven't talked to anybody. I studied the league
like Slates, not as much as Slates.
Come on, Doggy.
But I'm just saying, like, if Orlando's not in on Clay and there's another two guard to KCP, I'm like, well, damn, KCP might fit better with Jalen Suggs and Paolo Banchero. I don't know. Then maybe that's a move. Well,
and that would hurt the Nuggets, which was my overall point. So maybe if the Nuggets are taking a little step back, like, I mean, the Mavericks just had a great run. They clearly, like, you know, Luka being your 1A with Kyrie, as settled as Kyrie seems to be, lively on the rise. Like, I think the Warriors would be considered, even with Paul George, theoretically, considered a tier below. But you're in the mix,
yeah,
right? You know, you're in the mix.
Paul George.
What are the chances that Kuminga, Moody, TJD, and Pods are all on this team to start the season?
Pretty good, but if a big trade happened, I think at least one of them's in it, you know. And I think, you know, Moody was relatively available at the deadline. You know, they were looking to make smaller moves at the deadline. They were trying to get in on Caruso. I think it's possible Moody might have moved in that deal. You know, it's interesting because, like, I think they probably value and covet the future of Pajemski and Trace Jackson Davis more right now than maybe the market, like, the market thirst for them would be.
They're
right?
Higher on them they than others.
Yeah, like, I think, you know, if a Jimmy Butler trade materialized, like, Miami did love Pajemski at the draft. You know, I think
Tyler Hero and Pajemski.
And the Warriors love Jaime Hawkash, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, they have, like, Caleb Martin could be on the move as an example. Right. Like, they've got a lot of weird pieces in Miami.
If there's just, like, a monster move that they feel like really vaults them into, like, really legitimately back in the mix, and the stickling point is one of their younger guys, particularly, like, the non-Kuminga group, I guess we could say.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably relent on that. You can't just protect everything.
Is Kuminga untradeable? Is he untouchable for the Golden State Warriors? Could he be had in the right move? Because I keep going back to the Clippers and Paul George. I'm like, man, if the Clippers, I know they don't have a lot of juice in this. I know Paul George holds all the cards, but damn, if I'm the Clippers, I'm thinking I can't even get Kuminga out of this guy. That's disappointing.
Okay, but what if you're like, yeah, Paul, you know, Kuminga was the sticking point. We just can't do this trade. Right. And he goes, all right, well, I'm opting out.
No doubt about it. But it leads me to, like, is Kuminga untouchable? Because I still think highly of Kuminga. I do.
Yeah. I mean, well, you should. Like, he's a good player. The league thinks highly enough of Kuminga that, like, there's a reason extension talks might get a little tricky because, you know, I think if he goes to restrictive free agency, like, literally this time next year, he might be a restricted free agent. That the league could show you how highly
what's his value today? Because they have to make a decision by October 21st, give or take.
Yeah.
On an extension, 30. I mean,
those talks won't even happen.
Get $55 million was like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we're talking at least the like a 9-figure type multi-year deal, right? In the 100 something, you know, X years for 100 million, 4 years for 100 plus million. It'll be a varying, we'll see where that goes, and negotiations matter. I mean, it's what happened to Poole. Poole's market rose a lot because it's interesting you mentioned Scotty Barnes. When Tyler Hero signed that deal, I was actually in Japan around the Warriors at the time. and I remember them being like, whoo, that Hero deal, you know, like that really, like, took a lot of their leverage away, because it's just like, at the time, I mean, Poole had just helped them win a title. At that point, I think Poole's reputation and upside because of what he meant to a winning environment was like, you know, like you got to go over Tyler Hero for him. Mm-hmm. And they did go over Tyler Hero for him.
Do they view the Kuminga situation dramatically different? Or I guess, did they?
I think they'll be more careful.
That's okay. Because I'm discerning, and we've had discussions. I'm like, look, I want to keep Kuminga, but like, wow, extending him at $30 million after what just happened with Jordan Poole. And there's so many reasons why. Like, I would be a little worried. I just would. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. I'm reluctant.
It's always a worry with a young player, right? It's always a worry. He had the knee tendonitis and he missed some time late in the season. But on the flip side, I think about it like this. Boy, if I got him at $30 million a year, that could be a huge bargain in 2 years, having Jonathan Kuminga at 30 a year.
With the Barnes deal. Like, I don't know. And the cap going bigger next year.
There's a lot of things going on now. I think what matters, and again, those talks won't happen until like
they figure
what their roster looks like in a couple weeks. They don't know what their roster is going to look like. And not only their roster, but their future money commitments, right? Mm-hmm. If Paul George theoretically came in, and if he came in, it would very likely be with that 4 for $221. Like, suddenly they're a little bit more handcuffed long-term financially.
What about Steph getting an extension? Does that give them any... all Steph extensions, because he is extension eligible this offseason, is that even on the table? Is that something they're just going to wait and go through? Does it give them any relief?
It'll at least be like thought about a little later in the summer. I think there's so many dominoes here and like where this franchise is going and like what's Steph's interest in necessarily locking up long term. Now it gets him another year of like insane money, but also, you know, he just like we reported with De'Aaron Fox in Sacramento a little bit, you as a player still want to hold a little bit of a leverage card over a team where, you know, if Steph theoretically signed an extension and then the Warriors get through the next few weeks and they just didn't find a trade they liked. And they're like, you know, we want to protect the picks. We want to protect the youth. Yeah, we might be the ninth seed again next year. We want to get out of the tax.
Right.
We want to get out of the tax entirely. Right. It just seems like that reset. Then, like, well, Steph would have lost a little bit of his leverage. It's a leverage league. So yeah,
no doubt.
I think a Steph extension may get talked about later when... like a lot of dust just needs to settle clear over the next few weeks.
Because he's got two left, and he can get three more again. Like the whole, because I'm reading about
the over 38 rule.
Yes.
So, you know, again, like gosh, so many.
The rules are unreal.
When they're changing too.
Yeah, they're unreal.
There is a math equation. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HG1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Don't forget that you can also watch us every single day on our YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter streams. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. Anthony Slater, live in studio here on the Morning Roast. He'll be here for the next hour. He's been here for an hour already, breaking down the Golden State Warriors offseason here. And I want to get back to this. I want to get back to Kuminga, because we were talking about Klay Thompson earlier and their relationships with the coaching staff and the players or whatnot. Now, we know Kuminga. He's gone to the media not once, not twice, but three times. And the last time he went to the media.
Where'd you read about that?
The Athletic, baby. Anthony Slater, Sam Sharadia, baby. Let's go. Anthony Slater, breaking news. Aggregate that one.
It's really the only publication I read outside of 957thegame.com.
You lie. He just asked me for my Sporty Green password. No, I'm kidding.
I've hit my limit on SFgate, click-ons.
Yeah. Well, they like to aggregate their own things on this show. I got a problem with Alexander Simon, the editor at SFgate.
They had a post yesterday, real quick, about like the hottest cocktail bar in San Francisco that I had never heard of.
Oh, yeah.
That only serves non-alcoholic drinks. Newsflash, whoever the moron is that just got here from wherever, writing for the Chronicle, no one's ever heard of that bar.
Leave that one alone.
I'll tell that to their face. The Chronicle used to be respected.
I'm hitting off button on my mic.
Yeah, I'm gonna leave that alone. I still subscribe to the Chronicle.
I'm telling you,
The Chronicle's my hometown paper. I read the Athletic first in the Chronicle. I got love for the Chronicle.
Don't get me started on food reviews.
Kuminga's relationship. How's his relationship with Steve Kerr? Has it been repaired? How's he feel his standing is with the Golden State Warriors? Does he feel like he's in good standing with the ownership group, with the team, with the players? How's he feel right now? Because there's a lot of drama with Kuminga early on in the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kuminga's like desire at that point was like very easy to understand. It was like, I believe I am a 30 plus minute per game player in the NBA. I believe I'm good enough for that at this point. And, you know, even if there was arguments year one, year two, he hadn't got there. I think by year three, it was pretty clear. Like, I don't know, this guy can help winning. He does stuff that this team didn't have, right? Downhill, led the team in paint points, dunks. Mm-hmm. Didn't he have like the most dunks for the franchise for a season? Like there was just stuff he did that like, you need on the floor. And then obviously it came to a head and when he got benched for the last 18 minutes of that Nuggets game that ended with the Jokic bank. And then, you know, run, we come out with the report the next day in the middle of a back-to-back. That was what I remember, the crazy part of that time. And that day, they had, you know, Kuminga and Steve had a meeting in the office that, you know, Kuminga was very honest about afterwards. And I think admitted that, like, maybe he wasn't as great as the communication. I think Steve, in a kind of winding way, admitted maybe, you know, that conversation needed to happen earlier. And then I believe Kuminga went out that night, and, like, it was a career high in minutes the next game. And then he's starting. And, like, I do think the relationship, you know, you use as the relationship repaired. I think the big thing is, like, yeah, he's playing more. Like, that's all, like, it wasn't some, like, deep personal, you know, back and forth this or that. It was just, like, play me.
Yep.
You know?
But at the expense of who? And I think that was, like, you know, and at what position and at what times?
And we should get to that. But I think at the time, it was also very important for him because he's extension eligible this summer. There's a lot of money on the line for him now and into the future. So as we look towards the future, two things. Number one, like, playing time next year will matter. But also, you know, Steve said it in his post-game, in his exit interview. He doesn't think Kuminga at this stage has shown he's a small forward, which may sound like a small comment, but I think it's massive as we talk about lineup combinations and the way they've refit this roster next year. Because late in the season, Kuminga gets the knee tendonitis. Yes, that happened. What also happened is Trace Jackson-Davis stepped into the starting lineup. They were much better defensively with Trace and Draymond. Draymond would have quotes about how he loves having a backline center so he can play free safety. He's not the rim protector. And by the Kings game, by late in the season, they were bringing Kuminga off the bench. Now, still playing good minutes, but, you know, if you're going into next season with Kuminga, Wiggins, Draymond, Trace, like, there's, you know, the minute pie is kind of getting crowded there.
I don't love the spacing with Draymond and TJD and Kuminga on the floor together. If you don't have the spacing of the shooting, the lane gets clogged. Yep. I mean, really, the only exciting part of that game was the three consecutive buckets. I'm talking about the playing game for Kuminga. That was literally the most exciting part of the game. And he's a guy that gets to the free throw line on a team that doesn't get to the free throw line a whole lot.
Where's he at defensively, in your opinion, JK?
I think he has a lot of tools defensively, and I think there are moments and games, especially, I would say, even his first couple of years where, like, I can remember they're like, hey, guard LaMelo Ball for this game. And he was like, yeah, lock into that assignment. I think if he's hounding you on ball and he's, like, really into the possession, he's difficult to get by and score on. He's great laterally, long, athletic, competitive, especially in, like, a one-on-one setting.
Mm-hmm.
He has his team defensive issues, rotation issues. I think
awareness off ball is a problem.
Yeah, and just, like, desire on a possession-by-possession basis to, like, make sure the team defense is as good as it can be. You know, it's like he loves to block a shot. He loves to, you know, lock a guy up. Yep. And remember Jordan Clarkson when he locked him up and got Clarkson so mad? Clarkson was like,
Clarkson's ready to fight. Yeah, he squared up on him.
Like, he can do a lot of that stuff, which they need, by the way. They need point of attack, good defense. But, you know, defensive rating with a player on the floor matters in the sense of, like, it's what they like about Pajemski, right? You know, it's just like he's going to – it's like assignment stuff, although they say Pajemski gambles too much. But
he has poor lateral movements. Yeah, one comes flying up sometimes.
One of the things with Kuminga, I'd say, over the long term is, like, Kuminga, like, really – and I think it's understandable considering the skill set he not only possesses but I think can grow into. Like, he wants to be, like, a star wing scorer.
So what is Curve you amass then? Because you said –
he said a four right now.
A power forward, and you know, like, Kuminga's trying to, I think, get to the point where, like, by year 5, year 6, year 7, you know, you're talking all-star.
So how do they navigate that next year in terms of a starting lineup if Draymond's going to be your 4 alongside TJ?
It's a great question, you know, and it's going to depend on how the roster –
it's how the roster fits. Like, we don't know what the roster's going to look like in a couple weeks.
Wouldn't you imagine, like, theoretically, you would view Kuminga as, like, if Wiggins is gone this summer, like, Kuminga's your starting 3, right? You would just see him. Yeah, that's a starting spot.
Or if it's Paul George.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe it's Paul George and he's at the 4, but Draymond at the small ball 5, something that maybe is not sustainable.
That's why suddenly Wiggins and Kuminga worked all of a sudden last year. Why did it happen? Because Draymond stepped in and was the center. But, you know, there's also an argument, and Draymond might make it at times defensively, that he doesn't want to just be this the small ball center. He loved playing with Andrew Bogut. Mm-hmm. He loved having Zaza Pachulia behind him.
Yeah, he likes to be the help defender.
Yeah, and just like, you know, he says it, and it's, you know, he, especially the last season, couple seasons dealing with the back, it's like, when I'm guarding the center, then like Jonas Valanciunas is trying to get every single offensive rebound, and I just got to step in and box. Like, my job is to box Jonas Valanciunas out for a quarter. It's like, that's a little bit taxing.
All right, real quick, two quick ones before we hit the break.
And line them up, 888-957-9570. Ask Slater anything, Warrior-related.
Yeah, ask him anything. 888-957-9570, all about the Warriors right now with Anthony Slater and the NBA. If you've got an NBA question, ask Slates. He's tapped in, but more so on the Warriors. One, the Warriors' Twitter account at 9 o'clock. Sorry. Just tweeted out the Kings. Yeah. The Warriors' Twitter account, go to say Warriors. Uh-huh. It's at Warriors. Just tweeted out a big statement coming soon. With eyes emoji. So I don't know what they're doing.
What?
Maybe they're teasing the fan base, but a big statement coming soon. That's
Rick
from the
Barry
Golden State
statue
Warriors.
Doing the underhand, you know, free throw.
Maybe that. But two, if you do acquire Paul George,
uniform.
Who's the best fit with Paul George? Would it be Andrew Wiggins or would it be JK?
Let me just say that even if a Paul George trade were to happen, or any big trade were to happen, not only would it not be hinted at, in my opinion, by the Warriors' Twitter account, because of tampering rules, yeah, number one, and also just like...
Yeah, this is uniform statue.
Yeah, this is something
the
else.
The legal rules of the league.
We're having a hot dog
They literally
contest.
Wouldn't even be able to acknowledge it until like July 6th.
Exactly.
I mean, I know. It's just more so getting the fans like, big statement, yeah. What's going on? It's like, hey, fans, it's not a trade. Trust me, it's not that. We'll get that from Slater or Shams or Woj or whatnot. But I do wonder about the fit. Wiggins, do you think Wiggins is just basically done here? That they're actively trying to get...
No.
There's an avenue for him to be back next season.
Sure. Yeah. If they don't like what they have. Now, like, could he be moved? Sure. Yeah, he could. But, like, I don't... Like, done is no. I don't.
I'm done.
Okay, that's fine. You know.
You're not Mike Dunleavy.
Well, I'm just telling you, like, me and a lot of the Philly are done. Like,
but
we're done.
What if he does come back and add to trade Kuminga for Paul George?
You're also done, but you know, if he shoots like 40% from three and like guards well and looks like in shape and motivated in the first month.
It's a lot of ifs.
But, you know, Mr. Jorge Soler is the GOAT this summer. Like, new information could change your mind.
Yeah, it could change your mind. You'll pivot.
The fact that they squeezed a Cody Ross run out of him, I'm shocked that it happened. I'm thankful for what Wiggins gave, but the hollow invisible man is going to go invisible again at some point. Like, I know it's coming.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Like, his contract's actually not that bad. But it's also, like, when they signed it, it was viewed as, like, incredibly team-friendly. Obviously, that has changed.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, again, I think for the right, in the right move, for the right, you know, return, he certainly would be available this summer. They talked about him plenty last season, leading up to the deadline, but also I don't think they're like, oh, we gotta get off his.
No, but do the contract. Players like do the players trust him to like be ready to go all year this year?
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't. You kind of like have to if he's on the team. I don't know. Like, there's no like demand that he has to be gone. I mean, like, he is still at the start of a big game next season, depending on who they bring in. Paul George could change this, but like, let's say, you know, they have relatively the same roster next year and they play the Mavericks on opening night. He's guarding Luka. He's guarding Luka most of the game. He's guarding Luka for 36 minutes. He's their best option on Luka. He was great on Luka in that playoff run. Again, I know that playoff run is not indicative of what you can expect moving forward, but like, if he's suddenly just off the roster for not a good return, you lose your best individual defender.
Point of attack. Yeah, you're right.
I agree with that.
He's making $26 million next year. That's really not that bad.
A lot of people think that's a bargain, too. And then Warriors thought it was a big-time bargain, considering what other players around the league got paid. So I'm kind of with you there,
You
Slates.
Do need a lot more from him to go to get back to the next level. For sure. And I understand anybody who's like not trusting you're going to get that. But I'm just saying they're not just like, oh, my gosh, we have to get off.
Anthony Slater, live in studio. This has been a lot of fun. That hour flew by. We got about 40 minutes left with Slates here on the Morning Roast. Line them up. I see your calls right now. 888-957-9570 is the number. Ask Anthony Slater anything Warriors-related. If you want to sneak in another NBA call, that's fine, too. But Anthony Slater's live in studio to answer the questions as we break down this offseason.
Yeah, I'm excited. The guy knows more than anybody about these topics. And I'm getting some great feedback about my suggestion, the Rick Barry statue. Scooter is saying that that's the best part of this entire hour and a half.
Oh, yeah. Scooter Barry. Shout out to Scooter Barry. Yeah, the Rick Barry statue should have been up.
You're
a big statue guy, but that didn't come up at some point.
I want that statue.
It'll come up at some point.
Come on.
Rick Barry should have a statue.
Can you do a statue of a current player? Like, could they do a Steph Curry statue?
So, for example, I actually think that there are certain players that, like Derek Jeter, I thought could have had a statue while he was playing.
LeBron
Steph absolutely
James.
Can have one while he's playing.
Yeah.
Get the statues up. They got the little walk with the plaques right there. Rick Barry's 24, exactly. Chris Mullin, Nate Thurman, exactly. All that. But yeah, statue would be cool. All right, what's coming up? More with Anthony Slater, brought to you by KTVU, Fox 2 Streaming App. KTVU's Fox Local Streaming App for your connected TV, live stream mornings on to the 10 o'clock news and all Fox 2 newscasts, plus watch Like It or Not and more. Fox Local, free and easy to use. No subscription required.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That the league could show you how highly
what's his value today, because they have to make a decision by October 21st, give or take, on an extension. 30, I mean,
those talks won't even happen.
Get 55 million was like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we're talking at least the like a nine-figure type multi-year deal, right? In the 100 something, you know, X years for 100 million, 4 years for 100 plus million. It'll be a varying, we'll see where that goes, and negotiations matter. I mean, it's what happened to Poole. Poole's market rose a lot because it's interesting you mentioned Scotty Barnes. When Tyler Hero signed that deal, yeah. I was actually in Japan around the Warriors at the time. and I remember them being like, ooh, that Hero deal, you know, like that really like took a lot of their leverage away, because it's just like at the time, I mean, Poole had just helped them win a title. At that point, I think Poole's reputation and upside because of what he meant to a winning environment was like, you know, like you got to go over Tyler Hero for him. Mm-hmm. And they did go over Tyler Hero for him.
Do they view the Kuminga situation dramatically different? Or I guess, did they?
I think they'll be more careful.
That's okay. Because I'm discerning, and we've had this. I'm like, look, I want to keep Kuminga, but like, wow, extending him at $30 million after what just happened with Jordan Poole. And there's so many reasons why. Like, I would be a little worried. I just would. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. I'm just saying I'm reluctant.
It's always a worry with a young player, right? It's always a worry. He had the knee tendonitis and he missed some time late in the season. But on the flip side, I think about it like this. Boy, if I got him at $30 million a year, that could be a huge bargain in 2 years, having Jonathan Kuminga at 30 a year.
With the Barnes deal. Like, I don't know. And the cap going bigger the cap next year. I don't know what the projection is.
Going on now. I think what matters, and again, those talks won't happen until like
they figure
what their roster looks like in a couple weeks. They don't know what their roster is going to look like. And not only their roster, but their future money commitments, right? If Paul George theoretically came in, and if he came in, it would very likely be with that 4 for $221. Like, suddenly they're a little bit more handcuffed long-term financially.
What about Steph getting an extension? Does that give them any – all Steph extensions, because he is extension eligible this offseason, is that even on the table? Is that something they're just going to wait and go through? Does it give them any relief down the
board? I think it'll at least be, thought about a little later in the summer. I think there's so many dominoes here and like where this franchise is going and like what's Steph's interest in necessarily locking up long term. Now it gets him another year of like insane money, but also, you know, he just like we reported with De'Aaron Fox in Sacramento a little bit, you as a player still want to hold a little bit of a leverage card over a team where, you know, if Steph theoretically signed an extension and then the Warriors get through the next few weeks and they just didn't find a trade they liked. And they're like, you know, we want to protect the picks. We want to protect the youth. Yeah, we might be the ninth seed again next year. We want to get out of the tax.
Right.
We want to get out of the tax entirely. Right. It just seems like that reset. Then, Steph would have lost a little bit of his leverage. It's a leverage league. So yeah,
no doubt.
I think a Steph extension may get talked about later when – a lot of dust just needs to settle clear over the next few weeks.
Because he's got two left, and he can get three more. Again, the whole – because I'm reading about
the over 38 rule.
Yes.
So, so many –
the rules are unreal.
Math equation. They're changing, too.
Yeah, they're unreal. Right.
It's a math equation. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HG1, San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Don't forget that you can also watch us every single day on our YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter streams. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. Anthony Slater, live in studio here on the Morning Roast. He'll be here for the next hour. He's been here for an hour already, breaking down the Golden State Warriors offseason here. And I want to get back to this. I want to get back to Kuminga because we were talking about Klay Thompson earlier and their relationships with the coaching staff and the players or whatnot. Now, we know Kuminga. He's gone to the media not once, not twice, but three times. And the last time he went to the media.
Where'd you read about that?
The Athletic, baby. Anthony Slater, Shams Charania, baby. Let's go. Anthony Slater, breaking news. Aggregate that one.
It's really the only publication I read outside of 957thegame.com.
You lie. He just asked me for my Sporty Green password. No, I'm kidding.
I've hit my limit on SF Gate, clicking on.
Yeah. Well, they like to aggregate their own things on this show. I got a problem with Alexander Simon, the editor at SF Gate.
I had a post yesterday, real quick, about the hottest cocktail bar in San Francisco that I had never heard of.
Oh, yeah.
That only serves non-alcoholic drinks. Newsflash, whoever the moron is that just got here from wherever, writing for the Chronicle, no one's ever heard of that bar.
Leave that one alone.
No, I'll tell that to her face. The Chronicle used to be respected.
I'm hitting off button on my mic.
Yeah, I'm going to leave that alone. I still subscribe to the Chronicle.
I'm telling you,
I said it. The Chronicle's my hometown paper. I read the Athletic first in the Chronicle. I got love for the Chronicle.
Don't get me started on food reviews.
Kuminga's relationship. How's his relationship with Steve Kerr? Has it been repaired? How's he feel his standing is with the Golden State Warriors? Does he feel like he's in good standing with the ownership group, with the team, with the players? How's he feel right now? Because there's a lot of drama with Kuminga early on in the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kuminga's desire at that point was very easy to understand. It was I believe I am a 30 plus minute per game player in the NBA. I believe I'm good enough for that at this point. And, even if there was arguments year one, year two, he hadn't got there. I think by year three, it was pretty clear. I don't know, this guy can help winning. He does stuff that this team didn't have, right? Downhill, led the team in paint points, dunks. Mm-hmm. Didn't he have the most dunks from the franchise for a season? There was just stuff he did that you need on the floor. And then obviously it came to a head and when he got benched for the last 18 minutes of that Nuggets game that ended with the Jokic bank, and then you know, run, we come out with the report the next day in the middle of a back-to-back. That was what I remember the crazy part of that time. And that day, they Kuminga and Steve had a meeting in the office that Kuminga was very honest about afterwards, and I think admitted that like maybe he wasn't as great as the communication. I think Steve, in a kind of winding way, admitted maybe that conversation needed to happen earlier. And then I believe Kuminga went out that night and, like, it was a career high in minutes the next game. And then he's starting, and like, I do think the relationship, you use as the relationship repaired. I think the big thing is like, he's playing more. Like, that's all. Like, it wasn't some like deep personal, back and forth this or that. It was just like, play me.
Yep.
But at the expense of who? And I think that was like, and at what position and at what times?
And we should get to that. But I think at the time, it was also very important for him because he's extension eligible this summer. There's a lot of money on the line for him now and into the future. So as we look towards the future, two things. Number one, like, playing time next year will matter. But also, Steve said it in his post game, in his exit interview. He doesn't think Kuminga at this stage has shown he's a small forward, which may sound like a small comment, but I think it's massive as we talk about lineup combinations and the way they've refit this roster next year. Because late in the season, Kuminga gets the knee tendonitis. Yes, that happened. What also happened is Trace Jackson-Davis stepped into the starting lineup. They were much better defensively with Trace and Draymond. Draymond would have quotes about how he loves having a backline center so he can play free safety. He's not the rim protector. And by the Kings game, by late in the season, they were bringing Kuminga off the bench. Now, still playing good minutes, but if you're going into next season with Kuminga, Wiggins, Draymond, Trace, like, there's the minute pie is kind of getting crowded there.
I don't love the spacing with Draymond and TJD and Kuminga on the floor together. If you don't have the spacing of the shooting, the lane gets clogged. Yep. I mean, really, the only exciting part of that game was the three consecutive buckets. I'm talking about the playing game for Kuminga. That was literally the most exciting part of the game. And he's a guy that gets to the free throw line on a team that doesn't get to the free throw line a whole lot.
Where is he at defensively, in your opinion, JK?
I think he has a lot of tools defensively, and I think there are moments and games, especially, I would say, even his first couple of years where, like, I can remember they're like, hey, guard LaMelo Ball for this game. And he was like, yeah, lock into that assignment. I think if he's hounding you on ball and he's, like, really into the possession, he's difficult to get by and score on. He's great laterally, long, athletic, competitive, especially in, like, a one-on-one setting.
Mm-hmm.
He has his team defensive issues, rotation issues. I think
awareness off ball is a problem.
Yeah, and just like desire on a possession by possession basis to like make sure the team defense is as good as it can be. It's like he loves to block a shot. He loves to, lock a guy up. Yep. And remember Jordan Clarkson, when he locked him up and got Clarkson so mad. Clarkson was like,
Clarkson's ready to fight. Yeah, he squared up on him.
Like, he can do a lot of that stuff, which they need, by the way. They need point of attack, good defense. But, defensive rating with a player on the floor matters in the sense of, like, it's what they like about Pajemski, right? It's just like he's going to – it's like assignment stuff. Although they say Pajemski gambles too much. But
he has poor lateral movements. Yeah, one comes flying up sometimes.
One of the things with Kuminga, I'd say, over the long term is, like, Kuminga, like, really – and I think it's understandable considering the skill set he not only possesses but I think can grow into. Like, he wants to be, like, a star wing scorer.
So what is curfew amass then? Because you said –
he said a four right now.
A power forward, and Kuminga's trying to, I think, get to the point where, like, by year 5, year 6, year 7, you're talking all-star.
So how do they navigate that next year in terms of a starting lineup if Draymond's going to be your four alongside TJ?
It's a great question, and it's going to depend on how the roster –
it's how the roster fits. Like, we don't know what the roster's going to look like in a couple weeks.
Wouldn't you imagine, like, theoretically, you would view Kuminga as, like, if Wiggins is gone this summer, like, Kuminga's your starting three, right? You would just see him. Yeah, that's a starting spot.
Or if it's Paul George.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe it's Paul George and he's at the four, but Draymond at the small ball five, something that maybe is not sustainable.
That's why suddenly Wiggins and Kuminga worked all of a sudden last year. Why did it happen? Because Draymond stepped in and was the center. But, there's also an argument, and Draymond might make it at times defensively, that he doesn't want to just be the small ball center. He loved playing with Andrew Bogut. Mm-hmm. He loved having Zaza Pachulia behind him.
He likes to be the help defender.
Yeah. And just like, he says it, and especially the last season, couple seasons dealing with the back, it's like, when I'm guarding the center – And like Jonas Valanciunas is trying to get every single offensive rebound, and I just got to step in and box. Like, my job is to box Jonas Valanciunas out for a quarter. It's like, that's a little bit taxing.
Real quick, two quick ones before we hit the break.
And line them up 888-957-9570. Ask Slater anything, Warrior related.
Ask him anything. 888-957-9570. All about the Warriors right now with Anthony Slater and the NBA. If you got an NBA question, ask Slates. He's tapped in, but more so on the Warriors. One, the Warriors Twitter Kings? Account at 9 o'clock. Sorry. Just tweeted out the Kings. Yeah, the Warriors Twitter account. Go to St. Warriors. Uh-huh. It's at Warriors. Just tweeted out a big statement coming soon with eyes emoji. So I don't know what they're doing.
What?
Maybe they're teasing the fan base, but a big statement coming soon. That's
Rick
from the
Barry
Go to St.
statue.
Warriors.
Doing the underhand, you know, free throw.
Maybe that. But two, if you do acquire Paul George,
uniform.
Who's the best fit with Paul George? Would it be Andrew Wiggins or would it be JK?
Let me just say that even if a Paul George trade were to happen or any big trade were to happen, not only would it not be hinted at, in my opinion, by the Warriors Twitter account because of tampering rules, yeah, number one, and also just like,
yeah, this is uniform statue.
Yeah, this is something
the legal rules of the league.
We're having a hot dog.
They literally
contest.
Wouldn't even be able to acknowledge it until like July 6th.
Exactly.
I mean, I know. It's just more so getting the fans like, big statement. Yeah. What's going on? It's like, hey, fans, it's not a trade. Trust me, it's not that. We'll get that from Slater or Shams or Woj or whatnot. But I do wonder about the fit. Wiggins, do you think Wiggins is just basically done here? That they're actively trying to get.
No.
There's an avenue for him to be back next season.
Sure. Yeah. If they don't like what they have now, like, could he be moved? Sure. Yeah, he could. But like, I don't like done is no, I don't.
I'm done.
Okay. That's fine. You but know? You know, it.
You're not Mike Dunleavy.
Well, I'm just telling you, like, me and a lot of the Phil are done.
But
then
what if he does come back and they have to trade Kuminga for Paul George?
You're also dumb, but you know, if he shoots like 40% for three and like guards well and looks like in shape and motivated in the first month.
It's a lot of ifs.
But, you know, Mr. Jorge Soler is the GOAT this summer. Like, new information could change your mind.
It could change your mind. You'll pivot.
The fact that they squeezed a Tony Ross run out of him, I'm shocked that it happened. I'm thankful for what Wiggins gave, but the hollow invisible man is going to go invisible again at some point. Like, I know it's coming.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Like, his contract's actually not that bad.
I know.
But it's also, like, when they signed it was viewed as, like, incredibly team-friendly. Oh, obviously, that has changed.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, again, I think for the right return, he certainly would be available this summer. They talked about him plenty last season leading up to the deadline. But also, I don't think they're like, oh, we got to get off his.
No, but do the players, like, do the players trust him to, like, be ready to go all year this year?
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. You kind of, like, have to if he's on the team. I don't know. Like, there's no, like, demand that he has to be gone. I mean, like, he is still at the start of a big game next season, depending on who they bring in. Paul George could change this, but, like, let's say, you know, they have relatively the same roster next year and they play the Mavericks on opening night. He's guarding Luka. He's guarding Luka most of the game. He's guarding Luka for 36 minutes. He's their best option on Luka. He was great on Luka in that playoff run. Again, I know that playoff run is not indicative of what you can expect moving forward, but like, if he's suddenly just off the roster for not a good return, you lose your best individual defender.
Yeah. It's point of attack. Yeah, you're right.
We agree with.
And
I'm just saying,
he's making $26 million next year. That's really not that bad.
A lot of people think that's a bargain too. And then Warriors thought it was a big time bargain, considering what other players around the league got paid. So I'm kind of with you there.
You
Slates.
Do need a lot more from him to get back to the next level, for sure. And I understand anybody who's like not trusting you're going to get that. But I'm just saying they're not just like, oh my gosh, we have to get off.
Anthony Slater, live in studio. This has been a lot of fun. That hour flew by. We got about 40 minutes left with Slates here on the Morning Russell's. Line them up. I see your calls right now. 888-957-9570 is the number. Ask Anthony Slater anything Warriors related. If you want to sneak in another NBA call, that's fine too. But Anthony Slater's live in studio to answer the questions as we break down this offseason.
Yeah, I'm excited. The guy knows more than anybody about these topics. And I'm getting some great feedback about my suggestion, the Rick Barry statue. Scooter is saying that that's the best part of this entire hour and a half.
Oh, yeah. Scooter Barry. Shout out to Scooter Barry. Yeah, the Rick Barry statue should have been up.
You're
a big statue guy, but they didn't come up at some point.
I want that statue.
It'll come up at some
point.
Come on. Rick Barry should have a statue.
Can you do a statue of a current player? Like, could they do a Steph Curry statue?
So, for example, I actually think that there are certain players that, like Derek Jeter, I thought could have had a statue while he was playing. LeBron James can have one while he's playing.
Yeah.
Get the statues up. They got the little walk with the plaques right there. Rick Barry's 24, exactly. Chris Mullin, Nate Thurman, all that. But, yeah, statue would be cool. All right, what's coming up? More with Anthony Slater, brought to you by KTVU, Fox 2 streaming app. KTVU's Fox local streaming app for your connected TV, live stream mornings on 2, the 10 o'clock news, and all Fox 2 newscasts, plus watch Like It or Not, and more. Fox Local, free and easy to use. No subscription required.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.